Dear Father, we thank you. We can pray these prayers and better questions. We ask that thou wouldst gird them up, those that are in need, whether health, or whatever it might be, whether difficulties with their relatives, their mothers, their grandmothers, their pastors' wives, different ones that have been requested for prayer. We know that thou canst touch hearts. And those that are in need, those that have the request, give them grace, give them strength. Give them courage to maintain whatever it may be that's difficulty in their lives. And help them, Lord, and be with them and minister to them. Any of them that request a prayer are lost and unsaved. Bring them to the knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who can help them. And in Him we give all things through His strength that strengthens us. I just want to talk about Thy Word today, tonight, this book of Corinthians. We pray in Jesus' name for His sake. All right, in the book of, the book of 1 Corinthians, beginning to chapter 14, those who are listening with us, please give us a call at 856-261-9018. Our questions at BibleToday.org, or 8-questions at BFDBC.org. I'd like to hear from you. Give us a call, the comments, or anything else. Let's begin by reading 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1, 2, and 3 together. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather let ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. And he that prophesieth speaketh unto man for edification and exhortation and comfort. Right, here we have a call before we begin. Hello? Hello? Oh, Cass. Well, thank you very much. You got it. Good. Thank you very much. Okay, let's wave to Cass. That's clever. Okay. Well, thank you, Cass. I'm glad you're there. All right, now, the verse is chapter 14. What are we to follow after? In verse 14:1, what are we to follow after?
It's in verse 14, the first passage.
That's right.
To follow
charity. After charity,
yes. It's charity.
And remember, and desire spiritual gifts, but what is the thing that they'd rather do during this time when these gifts, sign gifts, were present? If that?
Prophecy.
The prophecy. Now, I notice in chapter 13 and verse 8, what is true of both tongues and prophecies? Dan?
I still want to tune in from New York.
Oh, good. Let's wave to Anna. Anna, wait. Our granddaughter. Wonderful. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to speak up, Anna. Don't let us down. Get some comments. I'm sure you got them. What are the two things mentioned in verse 8 of 13, chapter 13, verse 8? That he's spoken of right here in chapter 14, verse 1? That's
charity.
The third
one.
Gifts.
Okay, prophecy.
Okay, but also what else? No charity. Spiritual gifts, but what's the other thing? In verse
prophecy.
Number 8.
The prophecy,
but what else?
Verse number 8, verse number 1.
Well, chapter 13, verse 8 is talked about there. And also here.
Tongues.
Tongues. All right, so it's a project. What is true in verse 13:8 concerning both of these sign gifts, prophecies of death?
They're going to cease or fail.
They're going to cease and fail. When are these sign gifts, when were they available to the church and right there in the church to save people who weren't able to do these things? When were they present? After that?
During the transitional time period prior to the close of the canon.
All right, when was the close of the Bible or the canon? Roughly, when was that? Okay, Bill?
About 90
AD. 90 or 180. The Bible was complete. But during this whole section in the New Testament, especially here in 1 Corinthians and other places, it talks about these sign gifts. How many sign gifts are there altogether? In fact,
about nine.
That's with nine sign gifts. But then?
Verses. 8 through 10 of chapter 12.
Yes, they're there.
And there's nine.
There's the nine. That's I'm working on that right now. The book that I'm writing on 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, and so I just covered the 9 different ones. And when did the 9 gifts, sign gifts, actually cease? When did they cease? All of them, not simply these two, but all. Is it 10?
At the close of the canon.
Close of the canon. And that's not a shot at shooting canon, but the scripture, the canon of scripture, when the Bible was completed. Does everyone believe that and agree with us on that? No. But it's clear in chapter 13 that these things will cease when that which is perfect is come, and that which is perfect is a masculine or neuter. Any hands on that? That which is perfect. That's your hand?
It's neuter.
It's neuter. And so what can it ever refer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ if it's neuter? Is he neuter?
No,
he's masculine. And so what is a neuter word that this does refer to? That was for the 10?
The Bible.
The Bible. Tom Goodman has a neuter word. And when the Bible's completed, and we have a battle with lots of charismatics and the Pentecostals and all that don't agree with us on that, but when Paul was writing this, and during the time of the Bible, all these gifts were there. So in view of that, let's continue and look at verse 14, chapter verse number 1. Which is better? Well, counsels, even when these gifts are there, prophecy or tongues? The first one, just message one, but in verse number 2, we have both of them. What would he prefer?
Actually, it's in verse 3.
Verse 3, yes, right, verse 3.
Actually, it doesn't talk about both of them.
Okay, yeah, that's
it. In verse 13, it says the greatest is his charity.
That's right.
And they think he's encouraged to continue on in verses chapter 14 to follow after charity.
Mm-hmm. So, will charity fail ever? No. When the Bible is finished, when it's not complete, when it's partial, it'll always be. But these other sign gifts will stop and cease, even though some people differ with us on that. Now, in a gift, the sign gift of prophecy, what happens in that sign gift? What happens? What does it define that then? Okay.
Well, there's a message from God.
All right.
I mean, kind of like the Old Testament prophets.
Right.
The Lord spoke to them, mm-hmm. and then they spoke to the people.
Mm-hmm. So God had a message that through the gift of prophecy in the time before the Bible was completed, these were messages, as you say, from God, the people, Christian people, to follow and understand. And that's what he would say. Spiritually, but rather that you prophesy and have these gifts from God. Then in verse number 2, what is true of the, what is this unknown tongue in verse 2? How would you define that unknown tongue? Any hands on that?
That's
you, Billy.
Yeah,
Paul.
In verse 2:14, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaketh
not unto men, but unto God. Yes.
No man understandeth
him,
how he
is here.
He speaketh
mystery. That's right, that's good, Paul, for verse number 2. And how would we define unknown tongue? How would you define it, Pastor
Ned? A known foreign language.
What? A known foreign language, but unknown to the person that's in the gift. What is the purpose? How would God use that in New Testament days? Of unknown tongues, Sam?
Well, it was used at Pentecost.
What?
The apostles.
Where's that located?
Sharing the gospel, chapter 2.
Acts chapter 2, and they shared the gospel, those four countries.
With people that were there for the feast of Pentecost.
Right.
They were Jews.
Mm-hmm.
They were there.
Had the apostles ever studied his language before?
No.
No. Special gift of God.
They were unknown to them.
Unknown to them, absolutely.
But not unknown to their hearers.
To the hearers. The hearers spoke.
The hearers knew. They were speaking that real language.
Yes, very important. And it's defined as an unknown language. If you had that gift in the Bible times, what is the negative about this gift? And what is the positive? Verse number 2. Something is not true, something is true. What in the hands of that? Verse number 2, yes, Pastor.
When you're speaking to man, mm-hmm. though you're speaking to God.
All right. And unknown tongue, not to man, because the men don't know, but to God knows that unknown language. Now, a person that knows Hebrew, for example, or whatever Jew spoke in that day, if they, an unknown tongue, a completely different language, would they be able to understand that? The Hebrew people? The Jews? No, but it's not, God understands it. No man understands it, except the ones that live in that particular country and nation, as in Acts chapter 2, that's correct. But in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. What is a mystery? If he has this gift of whatever kind, what is a mystery? Especially that?
Mystery is a sacred secret.
Sacred secret. That's right. Questions at dftbc.org, 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Got to hear from you. So it's a secret that God speaks. Then in verse number 3, what is true of the prophecy? What, and when it was a gift, and when it was practiced, what did it do for Israel? And what was its purpose? How did God use that special sign gift during the Bible times? And?
It was used for edification, exhortation, and comfort.
Those three things. How would you define exhortation? Let's start with those three things. How would you define that? Hands on that. Exhortation.
You're encouraging somebody to do something that's on the right track, to do the right thing.
Yes. Exhortation, that's right. And then the one that got backwards, edification, what is that?
Building up.
Building up. Encourage the building up strong. And then comfort is what? How we define
it? Support.
Support and things that will help people to calm their problems and difficulties. All right, have a super guy here. There I got it. Yes, climbing the walls. Climbing in. Thank you.
Dr. Wing, talking about verse 2, and then, of course, verse 3, could part of this be somewhat of a commentary on about how the books were getting, the information was going into the biblical books, you know, what? Like mysteries, you know, the mystery about the church. And I'm just wondering, is part of this is talking about the preparation of the books of the Bible, the New Testament.
Yes, that's good. We'll take that. Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you.
Let's wave to London Walls over there. Thank you very much. And Pastor Dan, how will we answer this as far as the preparation for the New Testament and some of these shiny gifts?
Well, it's just been laying the foundation, perhaps, as far as that's concerned. But once they ceased, you see, the canon of scripture is completed. Mm-hmm. God does give, to communicate to man in scripture, you know, that's the process of inspiration. He revealed to man certain things that they wanted to write down, mm-hmm. and some of those things they did write down, and they became scripture.
Mm-hmm. And so the prophets that God used to write the scriptures, the New Testament books, that was a revelation from God. And these things right here, well, temporarily, there weren't many books here, weren't many Bible books at this point, but the principle is similar because it's something God gives to men to be able to understand and do these three things as mentioned here for edification, exhortation, and comfort. These are not just mentioned here specifically in writing of the books, but every writer that wrote God used to write the scriptures, New Testament scriptures, was given that special word, every word God breathed and it revealed to the writer, like Paul writing here in 1 Corinthians. All right, and let's read verse number 4, 5, and 6 together. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, and he that prophesieth edifieth the church. And with it all speak with tongues, the rather that she prophesied. The greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with untongues, except the interpret that the church may be edified. 4, 5, and read 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by writing? Like verse 4, what is true here that speaketh an unknown tongue? What is it true? What happens to affect them?
Identifies himself.
Identifies himself. So he's encouraged by the Lord, because the Lord is using him and understanding something that he wants to find out and to know. But what is the context of the prophesying?
Identifies the whole church.
The whole church. Now, yeah, fine.
But for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, unto God. So if you speak in an unknown tongue, you speak to God. For no man understands, and however in the spirit he speaks a mystery. Nobody understands the things he says with God, and it's all big mystery.
That's right. In verse number 4, the Christian believer, the genuine Christian, who had been given that sign gift of speaking foreign language to someone else, identifies himself, he feels the power of God, but he didn't prophesy upon God. Really, if really is some of his truth, he identifies the whole church. Well, it's a building, it's a much better gift, even in the days when it was used. Then in verse number 5, what does it mean, I would? Oh, excuse me, fine.
Do you think the church was filled with many people that spoke different languages, and so they had the tongue speaking so they all could understand the one language?
It's possible, although we see a little bit later, may not be true. And some of the other
ones. I just wondered.
Yeah, that's possible.
If there are five people here speaking different languages, okay. But then if suddenly you came up and spoke one that we all could understand, maybe a new language or something.
That's right. So it's basically those that are in foreign languages, tongue, you know, language, special language, would help them to understand. And what does he mean, I would? What does he mean?
That's his desire.
That's his desire. And what was his desire? Two desires. One is not as strong as the other. What's the first one that he would? In verse number 5. Can I answer that?
Okay.
This time, everybody's speaking the language so people can understand a foreign language. It's French or German or whatever it is, or Spanish in our day or other languages. But what's the preference? He'd like to have people speaking these foreign languages so people can understand the gospel, but what's his preference after that?
Prophecy.
Special language. Questions at vftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment to say hello. If not.
I forget what I was going to say, but something about prophecy.
It's more important than speaking in tongues.
So there, somehow or other, they should stop speaking in tongues and just talk.
Yeah, he'd rather have
too many tongues than
prophesy. What if that gift were here today, and somebody says, I've got the gift of prophecy, signed gift of prophecy, and he says something that's completely contrary to the Bible?
False prophet.
And so that's what a lot of these things, these are our Bibles are pretty, God doesn't really add anything more. Here the Bible wasn't completely added, so God used these special signed gifts, but it ceased when the Bible was complete. About 900 A.D. And so he'd rather have you prophesy correct things from God.
So, do you think it was possible at that time there may have been false prophets that were, you know, saying they had a prophecy from God, and in fact it went contrary to the scripture that was already given?
Already given, yes. I'm sure there were false prophecies, just like in the Old Testament, were false prophets. I think of that story that we read in our Bible a day or two ago, where one prophet was told to go to a certain place, perform what he had to perform, and come right back home, don't eat there, don't stop there, go right back home. And then another prophet said, I saw the face of the Lord.
He told me,
the older prophet, see, lying through his teeth. And because the younger prophet didn't obey God, he was killed by a lion. Terrible, terrible. So, since some people are false prophets as well, and we're going to talk about that yesterday.
But that was interesting because the donkey and the lion just stood there.
Yes.
They killed him, but they didn't eat him, they didn't devour him.
That's right.
They just stood there beside him.
That's exactly right.
Dead, which is interesting.
And what did the old prophet want to be done to him when he died?
But his bones with him.
His bones with
the young prophet. The
young prophet was a true brother. And this coming Sunday we're going to be speaking 2 Timothy. We've got a number of verses on false prophets and false teachers and so on. So this is very bad indeed. So in verse number, number 5, all speak, but rather, that means the best thing is in that day when the Bible is like a big prophecy, things from God to reveal to the genuine Christians what they should do, what they should believe. And who's greater? False, the speaking in tongues or prophecy? One of the prophets, is it greater? And,
because you can understand.
That's right. Except what? If a man speaking in foreign language, interpretation. Now, when we were, as reporters, Mr. Wade and me, and we were reporters at this huge Kansas City, Kansas, or Missouri, at that big conference of charismatics, they would speak in tongues, and somebody trying to interpret. You know why that interpretation is right or wrong? Some people have said, I've read it in books, that when these present-day tongue speakers, the prophesied speakers, the language that they talk, some of it is a filthy, filthy, rotten, satanic meaning. People that know that language they're supposed to be speaking, it's a terrible thing. I don't know who it was or when it was, but I remember hearing about that. But Joseph Chambers is a Pentecostal charismatic. He believes like we do in many of these areas, but he's not against, he stands with and I stand against. So we were in meetings one time, and he's a good speaker, preachers, a good sound speaker, yeah, Bill.
Yeah, the tongues that they supposedly speak in these days, they're not real words. They don't form any part of language at all.
Yeah.
You know, it's just syllables rolling off of a person's tongue. It's a spontaneous thing, just sort of like jazz improvisation or
gibberish. Gibberish.
Yes, it's just gibberish.
Yeah. That's true, and of course, that's why they're not real tongues. They're not real languages, many of the situations. And some are, but most of them aren't. They just babble, babble, babble. But in verse number 5, if you do have this gift, even Paul's day before the Bible was complete, interpretation. Now, when we were there at that meeting, they tried to interpret something. I don't know whether they interpreted it right or wrong, but they had some sort of people up there. But
they stood up there, and they talked this other language, and then they had different people up there that would tell us what that meant.
Exactly.
They were just making it up.
What was that?
They were just making it up.
They're making it up, as far as I can see, absolutely.
They were so happy making it up.
Yes, yeah. But the church, even in those days, had to be edified and built up in the faith. And then in verse number 6, when he comes, if he comes speaking in tongues, what's going to happen then? Paul says, what if I come speaking in foreign languages to you? In verse 5, verse 6. Back to that.
He's wondering what prophets there be for them. Was this going to be revelation or is it going to be prophecy?
All right. What shall I profit you? In other words, except I shall speak to you in by revelation or by knowledge of prophecy. In other words, in those languages, that's not going to help anybody. Unless there's interpretation of it, many times there wasn't apparently. But except they shall speak to you either by what? Three things. Or two things. Or three things. Yes, that's it.
Doctrine is one of them.
Doctrine. What else?
Revelation.
Verse 6. What else is the third?
Revelation.
So, something that builds them up and edifies them, and not just not an understanding of any kind. Well, number 6.
And knowledge is another one. We miss knowledge.
Revelation, knowledge. By prophecy, by doctrine, yeah, that's four. Thank you. Yes, Ken.
So, with the knowledge, would that be the spiritual gift, or is that something else?
Well, it is one of the 9 assigned gifts mentioned in, later on in 1 Corinthians, but I think in this, there's knowledge, but this is special knowledge. Special knowledge that God gives, not just knowing about facts and so on. So, I think this is probably the knowledge that's mentioned in First Corinthians, where it's placed.
And this is the spiritual gift.
Probably the first gift.
Yeah, that's one spiritual gift.
Special knowledge, divine knowledge, specially given to them that nobody else can know.
So, I have a question. What would be the difference between revelation and prophecy, prophesying?
Probably similar.
Yeah, I mean, when I think of revelation, I almost think of the giving of the scripture.
The scripture, yes. Bill.
Since we don't know exactly what that knowledge is, perhaps it might be something on the order of what God gave to Solomon for his wisdom.
Okay.
You know, maybe not to the extent that Solomon had it, but perhaps it was a gift in that sense, too.
Questions at bfdpc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. I'd like to hear from you. And so then in verse chapter 3, 7, 8, and 9 together, verses. And even things without life did he sound, whether pipe or harp, except to give a distinction of the sounds, possibly knowing what is pipe or harp. For if the trumpet gave an uncertain sound, who should prepare himself for battle? So likewise, he, except he's uttered by the tongue, words easy to be understood, how shall be known what is spoken? For he shall speak into the air. Alright, in verse number 7. Things they think sound. What are the illustrations of sound that are mentioned in verse 8? What type of things are getting sound here?
Trumpet.
Trumpet is one. And what else? Yes, then.
A pipe and a harp.
Well, those are musical instruments. Now, if those are trying to play a song or a tune that we know, that's one thing. But if we don't know anything about it, it's meaningless. People can ride along with music. Like, for instance, the music you hear when you're waiting to call someone and have them answer. You know, have little music things on the radio or the song. And we don't know what that's like. Just a bunch of nice music. We don't know what they're saying. They don't say anything. Let's see what we got here. Oh, my. In Boston. Hi, Dad. Hello, Rob Winograd from Chicago.
Hi, Pastor. Hi, everyone. I got a couple things. I think Sister Violin was asking them if they knew they were writing scripture. Mm-hmm. I think they absolutely did. Peter alludes to Paul's writings in 2 Peter 3, verse 16. He refers to Paul's writings as scripture.
Yes.
And one of the verses in this, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37, the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that he did know that he was saying scripture. And most of the evangelicals nowadays, they have no idea what they were writing.
Mm-hmm.
And on the tongue here, they were a sign for them to believe not. And he also alludes to Isaiah 28:11, verse 21. In the law, it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet, for all that, will they not hear me, saith the Lord. It was a stumbling block for many of them, but it was also a great conviction, probably the Gentiles, when they came into the church to see this miraculous thing in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
The whole chapter deals with Paul was saying that they were elevating tongues of that prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul said, you know, the spirit of the prophets are subject to prophets. I mean, they were vetted, they were examined, and they were held up to scripture also, to the Old Testament. And Paul was a Pharisee, and he constantly quoted the Old Testament. And I think that also crosses over again to that he knew he was writing scripture. He was quoting scripture over and over again, and I do believe he knew translating scripture.
Yes. That's good, Paul. I mean, Rob, thank you very much. Let's wave to Paul.
Rob.
That's right, Rob. Check in the menu. Wave to Rob in Chicago. All right. Thank you very much. And that helps with the one last question as well. To answer that, that's great. So in verse number 8, number 7, I guess we've done 7, without life, with the harps and the pipes. People have music, and they hear music and organs and everything, but you don't know what they're playing. It just sounds, but it has to have something you can understand. Yes, Pam.
Okay. Ian's got a comment here.
Good.
See, 1 Corinthians 13:1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I have become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, the uncertain sound.
Yes, that's very good. Thank you, Anna. Wave to Anna. York, Pennsylvania. York, Pennsylvania. Thank you very much. All right, so the hype and the pipe and the harp and these musical sounds, the distinction in the sounds. And not just simply very August 10th.
It's interesting, it says life-giving sound.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
life-giving
sound. Show me what's on there.
Verse number 7.
Verse 7. I was just taking a short phrase and
understanding it. That's good.
No.
In other words, when people are using instruments, whether it's piano or saxophone, clarinet, trumpet, trombone, viola, you know, violin, there's certain sounds that they make that make a tune that we understand, especially if we understand. So it's got to be understood. Distinction in sounds. How should we know what's played for? It has to be a distinction. Just flats all over the piano. Tammy who does the piano, my wife does the piano. It must be understood what is playing, what is from.
When you play the wrong note, it's obvious too.
It's obvious too, that's exactly right. So that was 5, 6, and 7, was it? Yeah. Are we ready for 8?
We started on 7.
Oh.
And so we have 8 and 9.
Oh, yeah, you know, okay. And now, this is verse 8 is tremendous, very valuable for many things. What is mentioned here? Let's just let me get this word first.
Verse 8?
Barbara, call again. I didn't do it. Oh, wait a minute, I almost got it. That's
right.
You keep getting lost. I call again, Barbara. I'm sorry about that. If I don't get it in the right way, I lose it. Okay, we'll try again. For instance, that's it.
Call of battle.
Yes, call of battle.
What
are the different sounds, the Old Testament for the trumpets? 3 or 4 purposes, yes, 10.
Gathering.
Gathering together.
An alarm.
What else? That's that.
For war.
For war, okay. So these are special things. So, yes, I.
When you used to have camp, and you would call it, kind of different calls, and nobody said a word, they just played those calls.
Right. A bugle call, that's a bugle.
The people would know the march, whether to stand in line or
Let's see if I get this. I think I got it.
You have to keep it off yourself.
Yes, go ahead, Barbara, go ahead, I got it this time. Good thing, good comment. Mark, no, President, please, huh?
does that really mean that the sun will give light? Like when a baby cries when it's first born?
I think the things are without life. I misunderstood it when he was talking about it.
So what do you think it is?
Well, I think the things don't have life in themselves, but they give sound.
They give sound.
So that's good.
Yes. Imagine that. You're going to say that.
I think they also use drop to assemble for feasts.
So oh, yes. Come and get your
challenges. Yes.
What is it?
Come and get your challenges.
Oh, yeah. Right?
Means,
no. We're talking about bugle sounds.
That's
bugle
sounds.
It's a trumpet give an uncertain sound. Give me three or four different trumpet bugle calls, and what do they mean? Number one is what?
Meals.
What meals? Come and get your chocolate. That's right. Come and get your beans. That's one. The call, the bugle call for food. What's another one?
Taps.
Taps. What does that mean?
It's
the end of the day. It's the end of the day.
Time to go to bed, yeah.
Yes.
Or also at a funeral, right? At a funeral? And they do that at a funeral.
The funeral's also. What's the third one?
The rise of whatever it is, to wake up.
Wake up on. That's food. I'll get your baby away. But
how does that one go?
What do you mean for?
For rice.
Thank you for the colors.
There we
go. Yeah, Rob, go ahead, give me the colors. Go ahead. Yes, go ahead. Really, go ahead, Reverend. That's right. What about the colors? Another call, Google call, what do you do when you are going into formation? What's the call? Get ready.
Anna says, I never learned them all, but
I wanted to. Okay. What's first call?
You don't know
what
the first call means.
That means the first call before you get into formation. Once you're in call, then your attention, you play a second call. First call is get ready to go, get in formation. The second call. Was that the first one?
That
sounds
like the first one. But there's an assembly call as well. Pastor, wanted to say hello to you and all of the BFP Church family. Thank you for tonight's Bible study, Carl. Also, want to send his thanks and appreciate Mrs. Waite the lovely birthday card we received. God bless each one is love, Vicki and Carl.
Vicki and Carl went over. Let's wait to them over there in
Massachusetts,
right? No, Maine. That's right. State of Maine.
Oh,
that's right.
Hi.
So damn right, but that's what
she did. Come see us.
I think they said it. That's what they sent me. You better be there right now. Otherwise, you get penalized. You're not there in time. All right. Well, is the trumpet given uncertain sound? What is true? If the trumpet does not give a certain sound, what happens?
You don't know. You're confused.
Confused? And what's the last part of that verse say?
I can't remember.
Who shall prepare himself to the battle?
So this is very, very important. And if we identify the trumpet as the Bible, the Word of God, the Scriptures, like we believe in the King James Bible, accurate translation for the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek language, the excellent translation. If we don't have that real solid, clear-cut trumpet call, then we don't know where to read the Bible. We've got to know this. Yet, that's an end.
Mom was asking, she's wondering about the wake-up call.
Wake-up call.
Like well, Rob was the one that Rob did.
What was that wake-up call again?
I don't know, but Rob did it.
Is that it? Okay. So, as I say, it's been a number of years since I've been here.
Yeah, early.
You've
got to get up in the morning.
Is that the wake-up call?
I think that's the way. All right. Now, but we've got to have the proper call. That's why I need the proper Bible to prepare. So otherwise, we go prepare for the battle. We've got to be prepared for this battle. We've got a battle on our hands today, all kinds of things. So that's my verse number 8. Did we read 9, did we?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. This is the last verse. What is true of this verse? What is the danger? What is it warning us about? Any hands on that?
Well, first, you have to speak so you can be understood, or you
may not talk.
Is that what you want?
That's right. It's easy to be understood when you talk. You can't be
talking. If you just make a bunch of noise, it goes into the air.
That's right. And how should it be known what is spoken of? Speak in there. In other words, this is a waste of time. It has to be clear. Now, if it's foreign language, if they have that gift of these days when Paul was writing this, then they can make it clear for the foreigners. And so on. Let's see what this is. Faith Peterson, voicemail. Didn't get the sound, but she called and said something. That's right.
Why wouldn't it be there?
Well, I don't know if she just wanted to. The dingle is a little bit different than the actual voice. It's just a little tiny message.
The dingle
is a little bit different. So that's verse number 9. Easy to understand. Speak of it and waste your time. Here, now that's a real call. See, that blink and blink. Okay. Yes, Rob again. Go ahead, Rob. We thank you, Heavenly Father. God has revealed to Paul these verses, these whole chapter, the whole book of 1 Corinthians. We thank you we can discuss it, talk about it. And though these gifts were there in Paul's day and up until the Bible was completed, we do not believe that they're still with us today. and the charismatics and the Pentecostals that hold that, they differ with us, and they have to fight with us about it. But and the charismatic movement is going astray, going into modernism and apostasy. I'm glad that Brother H.D. Spence used to be charismatic in Pentecostal. He left it when they began to break. So things are happening. Guide us and direct us. Bring us back safely to the Lord's day. Help us to live for our Savior and love Him and serve Him the best that we can. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Thank you.